Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome and thank you for coming to the public meeting. At today's meeting, we will hear from the applicant and also submissions on 186 Corridor Road Corridor. My name is Pamela Soon, and I'm the chair of the meeting today. The other panel members are Grant Christmas, Michael Fowle, our expert members, and Christopher Sins, our community member. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we meet and pay our respects to their elders past and present. I would also like to extend that respect to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people here today. Panel members, declaration of interest. Do you have any conflicts to disclose?
None for me.
So the panel doesn't have any interest to disclose. A couple of housekeeping matters. This meeting is being recorded by Council, and the recording will be posted on Council's website. No other recording is permitted unless you've obtained our approval beforehand. Could you please put your mobile phone on silent? Each presenter other than the applicant will have 4 minutes. The applicant will have 15 minutes. Olivia from Council will be monitoring the time. Thanks, Olivia. After each presentation, should any panel members have any questions, we will then ask you those questions. After all the presentations have been done, then I will close the meeting, and then the panel will then decide on this application. Minutes of the panel's decision will be posted on Council's website by Friday. We do have a couple of presentations, so let's get started. I will try my best to pronounce your names correctly. If I get it wrong, apologies for that. Let's get started. The first presenter is Joe O'Brien. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. As a local resident and someone who is deeply concerned about the heritage and future of Camden, I acknowledge the conditions and changes which have addressed some of the more contentious aspects of the proposed development. However, this does not make the development acceptable and it must be refused. The original publicised proposal for this site was for a substantial complex along the lines of Club Marconi or Panthers, with the stadium, a multi-storey licensed club, multiple restaurants and facilities. This plan was much modified after council feedback and a scaled back DA presented, but the area for the club and other originally planned features has been left vacant. It is of great concern that if this DA is approved, this original plan could be reinstated in the future, and step by step the size and scale of the development and its impacts increased. The various revisions since public exhibition have not been made public and are not included in the LPP agenda. There are further changes required by the conditions that will never be open to public scrutiny. These are major issues and should be addressed before any approval of this DA. There is a long list, including the boundary adjustment, significant changes to Corridor Road, changes in landscaping and car parks. Deferred commencement is not appropriate, with so much still to be determined and to be altered. This rural land to the south of Camden Township defines the end of the Sydney city area and urban development. This was formalised in the GSC plans as the metropolitan rural area. Camden Council has a rural lands policy specifically to protect the remaining rural land in the LGA. Despite being clearly relevant, neither of these policies have been addressed in the council report. This development does not maintain the rural character and it is not compatible with the RU1 zoning. Level playing fields, substantial landscaping and large buildings and car parks are not typical of this undeveloped rural landscape, which is characterised by open grazing land and neighbouring rural residences. There is insufficient acknowledgement of the visual impact from the overlooking ridge of the Old Oaks Road and from Burragoring Road and Sheathers Lane. The views across this land define the approach to the historic township of Camden and are iconic, and are clearly identified as significant in council documents such as the local strategic planning statement and rural lands policy. The size and scope of the building make it the more substantial part of the development and not ancillary to the fields. There are significant indoor sporting facilities, including a gym and an indoor pool. The numbers of staff and officers and the scale of the facility seem out of proportion to the needs of 25 players at a time. Highly flood-prone areas are no place for any major facilities, as we have seen in recent floods. Flood damage is inevitable, damaging buildings, fields, fences, landscaping and infrastructure, and adding to the debris in the floodwaters. It is not easy to speak here today against a developer who runs a sporting franchise which enjoys strong support from prominent people, including councillors and local MPs. But this is not about sport. It is not a facility for local children or for the local community. This is a major development on rural land with considerable earthworks, a large private training facility with significant impacts on local residents, roads, rural landscapes and viewscapes. Clearly, this is stage one of a bigger plan. The conditions will be challenged and additional proposals submitted. And in that original plan, there was a proposed expansion into the neighbouring lot, which runs from around the historic Catholic Cemetery on Cordell Road right up to the Old Oaks Road, which could result in a huge sprawling facility. Today, you will set a precedent. You will have the power to decide the future of the rural land to the south of Camden and elsewhere in the LGA, the fate of the floodplain, the future of Camden, the limit to Sydney's urban development. There are other developers and land bankers who have bought substantial blocks of rural farmland in the Cordell and Bickley Vale area. They are waiting for a development precedent for the area. I have just one more paragraph.
Sure.
This decision could potentially impact hundreds of residents who have bought properties specifically for the rural living aspect. Any approval today could result in a procession of DAs, each one asking for further and more intense development until there is no more rural land in Camden at all. This last piece of what was once prime rural land throughout the LGA also lost in the name of progress. Please refuse this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks.
Panel members, any questions for Joe?
Just on that last point, isn't the difference, however, with this proposal compared to the redevelopment on a global or on a wider scale in the rural lands, this development's permissible in a zone, but residential development, for example, isn't. Doesn't that make this development different and should be assessed accordingly?
I would argue that it could fall into the prohibited use. It's sort of a bit borderline in that way. So it actually is similar to a recreation facility indoor, which would be prohibited, or a recreation facility major if it's expanded. So as it stands at the moment, if it were to stay that way, it could be seen to fall into an acceptable with consent use. But it actually doesn't make sense the way it is. So it looks to me that it's a plan for the first step for a further expansion. Yes, that's right. I think it would. There's a lot of those blocks of land have sold over recent years. Thank you.
Next, we will hear from Gilbert Deschalane. Apologies. Sorry. The list is out of order. Sorry about that. We will hear from Peter Chaslin. Sorry, Gilbert.
I'm Peter Chaslin from 175 Cordell Road, Camden. My family has been there 34 years on this property, and my house is not on the plans of the paper what we were shown. The house driveway and the house wasn't on the plans. So I didn't understand their driveway, what they want to put in, is straightly in front of my house. So I just didn't understand why it had to be put there. So if that goes all ahead, does that mean I can't turn right into my driveway? And when I come out, do I have to not turn right to come out? I run a firewood business there for 25 years now, and if I can't turn right in there, how am I going to get trucks and stuff in there? Do I have to go all the way down the road and come around the roundabout and come back up? This is going to be a problem. That was my main concern, how I can get in and out of my property. It'll affect, we got two driveways at our property and the neighbour's got two, so that's four driveways we can't turn in and out of. So the other problem is we've been having floods occasionally, so if I come down the road from Bargering Road and I can't turn right, how do I get into my property? Because the flood are there. This is another problem. Do I go down on the wrong side of the road when the road's closed to get in there? I don't know. These are questions I'd like to know. How am I supposed to get into my place? Because in the plans, it doesn't show if there's a concrete barrier or anything on the road. How are you going to do the road? That's about all I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Panel, do you have any questions for Peter? No. Peter, I think the panel has similar questions. So if it's okay with you,
yeah.
We'll put those questions to the applicant.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next presenter, we'll hear from David Nethercote.
Thank you for the opportunity to address this panel. I speak on behalf of the Camden Residents Action Group. Apart from a few outliers, there is an agreement in the community that climate change is a clear and present danger. The consensus argues that it is a folly to rebuild on land subject to flooding and to go one step further and initiate a new construction in an area still sodden is a kind of madness. Accumulated data and personal experience must factor into any decision around new buildings. Flood events this year emphasise that this proposal is at high risk for financial losses due to damage and liability to use the training facilities. Using the site for agricultural, consistent with its zoning, is common sense. A condition for any development on this site must be to preclude any public funds or concessions in compensation for flood events. While we appreciate the proposed changes in the agenda report, the revised DA remains nonetheless unacceptable. This proposal is for non-agricultural development on land zoned for primary production. The argument is that the training facility can be categorised as outdoor recreation, which the zone does not specifically prohibit. Indoor recreation and major recreation facilities are prohibited, as are car parks, other land uses such as health and education services. These terms could be used in the description of this proposed facility. The LEP dictionary definition of a recreation area is a place used for outdoor recreation that is normally open to the public, which can include ancillary buildings. The proposal emphasises that it is not open to the public. It is clearly a privileged club for privileged members. Our understanding is that the players are paid. It is their job to train during normal working hours, and they will, by definition, not be using the facility for recreation. We also point out that the use of the proposed main building, which is much larger and grander than any found on recreation fields, is not ancillary. It is an inherent and necessary facility for training, although its footprint is, of course, much smaller than the area of the training fields. But it is, if the common facility costs are omitted, the costing shows that the investment is predominantly in indoor facilities, including offices, a substantial gymnasium and aquatics room. Arguably, if the building could be defined as being for recreation rather than as a workplace, it would come under recreation facility indoors, which is prohibited in the primary production zone. We cannot agree that the primary production zone objective of it being a non-agricultural use that is compatible with agricultural, environmental and conservation values is met. Our understanding is also that the development would be visible from many points and approaches to Camden. Camden's rural land strategy is to protect remaining rural lands and minimise non-agricultural development. Council is currently undertaking a green and blue grid analysis as part of its LEP review. This development has the potential to compromise connections and green corridors. The community is very concerned that this proposal is a foot in the door with subsequent modifications to come that will exacerbate its impact on Camden's renowned rural and cultural landscape. Football at this level is big business. This DA can at best be considered a big folly, at worst a madness, and accordingly we call upon the panel to reject it. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And all members, any questions for David? No. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Gino Mara.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the planning panel today. My name is Gino Mara and I'm the chairman of Macarthur Bulls Football Club. We play in the National A-League competition and the National Premier League Women League for our women's program. In 2025, we hope to have an A-League women's team based in our region as well. Macarthur FC is the only professional sports team of any code based full-time in the region. Our home ground for games is at Campbelltown Stadium, where we are working with Campbelltown Council to upgrade that facility as our full-time home. Our men's A-League team trains at Fairfield. Our women's team trains at Cammeray on the North Shore, and this is ridiculous when we are a Macarthur-based sports team. The Bulls are hoping to build a centre of excellence which will house our sports science, training, gym and pool for the professional side of our game at the site. The Centre of Excellence is also important from a senior level as it will allow us to push harder for excellence in ultimate silverware. The club has been very successful in the last 2 years since we inaugurally entered the competition. We won the Australia Cup last month, where we will represent our region and the country at the AFC Champions League next year. And we've also had significant support from our local community, with over 8,000 members of the club now based in the southwest of Sydney, predominantly in the Macarthur region. The club has a close relationship with our local football associations, Macarthur and Southern Districts, as well as the local NPL clubs. Being based in the area will further allow us to enhance our relationship and also allow our kids to aspire to play at a professional level, and ultimately with the Bulls. It's our hope and vision that most of the kids playing at this highest level will come from the Macarthur region. This Centre of Excellence will also allow aspirational coaches and students from our local community to work alongside our coaches and medical staff to get real life experience. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity. I've got our consultant here to talk to you, but I appreciate the opportunity to come and address you today.
Thank you, Gino. Panel members, any questions for Gino?
For the consultant, or
For Gino first, and then the consultants.
Going to speak next. Yep. Is he? Okay.
Thank you, Gina. The next we'll hear from Gilbert.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the panel. I'm Gilbert Deschalane. I'm from HDC Planning and the planners on this project. I have with me Nick Zappia. He's from Algoree Zappia. He's the designer of the development, just in case the panel had questions of a design nature. I brought him along. I did hope to have our traffic engineer here today, but unfortunately he couldn't make it. He's still dealing with an appeal matter. But if anything comes up, we'll try our best to resolve any issues that we can. The project that you have before you is obviously for the development of a football training facility to be used by the MacArthur Bulls Football Club. Their intention is for a centre of excellence. The proposal that you have before you does not seek consent to use the premises for any form of organised sport that is likely to draw large numbers of spectators. It is a training facility that has been purpose designed to provide specialised training and health services to elite athletes. And as you heard from the chairman, mainly the men's and women's from the A-League Player League. Prior to preparing this application, we consulted with the council on a number of occasions, including pre-DA consultation and pre-lodgement presentation. We received formal pre-DA advice, and we believe that we've complied with that pre-DA advice completely. After the notification period, the submissions received were carefully reviewed by the applicant team, and Council was provided with our categorisation of the submissions and our responses. Our assessment of the submissions, in our view, objecting to the proposal, are largely a result of a misunderstanding of what is actually proposed for the site. Again, this is not a proposal for a major sporting facility or any other commercial type activity. The proposal is solely a training facility that is properly defined as a recreation facility outdoor. We've reviewed Council's assessment report to the panel and the draft conditions of consent. We confirm that we are satisfied with the assessment. In our eyes, the assessment report is a thorough and balanced assessment of the facts. It deals with the key land use categorisation and land use permissibility issues concisely and accurately. The assessment report confirms consistency with zone objectives and suitability of the proposal, noting that the proposal will not give rise to land use conflict, nor will it limit the continuation of rural pursuits on adjoining land. The assessment report also highlights the fact that this proposal is a non-rural activity, but it will fit well within the locality and rural character. Furthermore, the applicant accepts and understands the requirements of the deferred commencement consent and the imposition of the suggested conditions of development consent. In particular, we note the imposition of conditions that ensure the operation of the premises to that which is detailed within the development application. We believe that the conditions limiting hours of operation, numbers of people permitted on the site, not permitting lighting of the car park and prohibiting public address systems will go some way to addressing the concerns of the objectors. The requirements of the deferred commencement consent requiring the reduction of on-site car parking and the submission of plans to council detailing amended car parking and vehicular access arrangements reinforces the scale of development that the council is recommending to the panel for approval. Compliance with the development consent ensures that the site is only used for a football training facility, a centre of excellence for elite athletes. We take this opportunity to thank the council for their assistance and diligent approach to the assessment of this proposal. As I've said, I have the architect with me as well to assist the panel in making their determination. Thank you.
Thank you. Panel members, questions?
G'day. I just had a short question. It sort of relates to one of the submitters as well, and I understand the use is categorised as outdoor recreation facility, but the difference between major is, like you explained, there's not a lot of visitors coming, right? So that's correct. But what about the indoor recreation facility, which is prohibited? I'm just looking at this gym, and and the pool, the indoor pool, which is, when you read the definition of indoor recreational facility, it says indoor pools, right? But you have an indoor pool and you have an indoor gym by its very nature, right? Is that a problem for permissibility?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Fyle. I don't think it's a problem. The pool and the gym is obviously for the physiotherapy that elite athletes obtain when at that level. I don't think it can be seen as a form of indoor recreation. It's actually part of the physiotherapy treatments that the athletes will be receiving.
If the whole thing's outdoor recreation, but this bit's indoor.
Okay.
It just sort of seems to me that might be indoor recreation.
Again,
because you're saying that the whole facility's recreation, which I think it says in the definition, it says whether or not it's paid or for gain or not. So I think obviously recreation's a pretty broad term. So just that indoor nature of the indoor pool and the indoor gym, that just seems to me, I was just wondering if you've turned your mind to that.
Yeah. Can I give it another shot?
Yep.
I think, again, those facilities are ancillary to the primary use. It's actually providing medical treatment and physiotherapy, and that's the equipment that's required for athletes of that level. That's the way that I would respond.
It's ancillary to the outdoor recreation use.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I throw my two bobs worth in there? What's unusual about the definition that I hadn't picked this up before is that the outdoor recreation facility means a building or place. So by its nature, buildings are proposed. So I take the point, and in fact it was my first reaction that query whether that part of this DA that seeks the pool and the like, whether that being in a building makes it indoor or outdoor. But the definition itself talks about there being buildings or places as part of the outdoor recreation facility. It's something that's really grappling with the permissibility issue. Anyway, it's more a comment than a question, I suppose.
It's a useful comment.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying, members of the panel, as you can imagine, we have laboured over this as well, and we think that we've come to the solution that it should be defined as a recreation facility outdoor, and those facilities that you're identifying, Mr. Fyle, are ancillary to that provision of those services on the site. We've also looked at, you know, if it is not that, what could it be? And I couldn't find anything in the dictionary in the LEP to identify something that would fit this facility in any better way than outdoor recreation. And
I guess a development can have more than one land use in it, can't it?
Well,
and it's sort of, you know, like that's often common to have several land uses proposed as part of a development, whether that be retail and residential, or in this case, indoor recreation and outdoor recreation.
I have to say that I would not identify that part of the development as being
ancillary to outdoor recreation.
I would say it's ancillary to that.
Sorry, I've just got one, Madam Chair. Just regarding the access of the site, what design options have been considered, noting that some of the residents may lose some one-way access?
So what you have before you is obviously what our traffic advice was, that this was the most appropriate way to provide safe access to the premises. Just to clarify, what you're seeing on plan is line marking, not a raised median or anything like that. Knowing and having seen the submissions that were received, we are already thinking about other alternatives that might be more suitable, if at all possible. Part of the deferred commencement, as you would know, is the requirement that we need to lodge amended plans showing a reduction in car parking and access arrangements. What we would intend to do is, following on from this, provide council with some other options they might want to consider if, in fact, we have actually limited the access to the other people.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I understand, and I'm unsure whether or not we actually are restricting. I was trying to get clarification as to whether or not you can turn across marked lines on the road into a private driveway. Yeah. Yeah. Lawful, yeah. And I spoke to the traffic engineer this morning, and sadly, he didn't have the plans in front of him, but I was trying to explain it. And he said, from what I was describing, it is more than likely lawful, but because I don't want to say more than likely to the panel, we will respond appropriately.
I just have one other question. You would have heard from some of the submitters today, some of the concerns are that, you know, this is just a stage one, that because of just the proposed development, that could actually be expanded. Could you comment on that?
Of course I can comment. Thanks. On that. Look, we've heard the speculation around town as well. The first comment that I'll make to the panel is obviously you deal with what's before you at the moment, and that is what we're engaged to deal with, which is the training facility. The comment that I would make about this being a foot in the door for further expansion, objector made a true statement. Anything larger than this would be prohibited. So, you know, all I can say is what you've got in front of you now is something that is permissible. What they're suggesting that the club's intention is prohibited.
Thank you, Gilbert. I don't think so. The panel has any more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's the last submitter. So thank you everyone for coming for the presentation and your time. As there's nothing else to discuss, I will now close the meeting. The panel will then deliberate on this matter. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.